In the last week of Advent, and our sermon today is all about peace. God with us brings peace. And as we have a look out over the world today, there's many situations, many things that are not at peace. Maybe you came from a home this morning that's just not at peace. Maybe everything at the office is just not at peace. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling rather choked up. You're looking at other people and you're looking at their freedom and you're looking at their joy and you're looking at the peaceful expressions on their face and there's a strange emotion that goes on the inside of you when that happens, because you want it but you don't have it. And you think, God, why don't I have it? Why? You know, when we go through our times of grief and sadness, we can still celebrate with others. Jesus didn't call us to be the party pooper. He didn't call us to be the wet blanket. Through pain, we can put a smile on our face, because His name is beautiful. Because it's not about me and my feelings. It's not about me and my situation. My situation is nothing in comparison to eternity. What you go through is, with all due respect, I know hurt is hurt, but it's nothing in comparison to Almighty God. And we have a decision. We can be peacemakers, or we can be war makers. Somehow I don't think we can be neutral. The world is at war. Nature is at war. We hear about the tsunami in Indonesia. 168 dead, 745 injured. And let's just lift them before the Lord right now. And Lord, in the midst of their turmoil in Indonesia, suffering the devastating consequences of an earthquake and tsunami. Lord, our human minds don't understand why these things happen, but we do understand and we do know that You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings and Lord over all. And we speak Your peace into Indonesia in Jesus' name. We speak Your peace into the aid agencies, and we pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and glorified there during this time so close to Christmas, in Jesus' name. We pray for our harvest of souls. We pray for those who are mourning. We pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those who are devastated physically. We pray that You'd be with them in a powerful way, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, images of war and Christmas don't really go side by side. Anybody buy any Christmas art? I know some of you do. I sometimes visit folks, and sometimes I take note of what's on your walls. And you know, at this time of the year, a picture in the lounge turns to a picture that has little lights behind it, and all lights up, and all looks pretty. Come on, don't pretend. I've seen it in your house. There we go. Okay. And kind of the images are chocolate box images, aren't they? Beautiful snow falling, a romantic couple walking in the street in the snow. I mean, how romantic is that? Now, when God spoke to us to move to England, I said to Isabel, we'll just walk in the streets of London hand in hand, even in the rain, and be in love. I mean, how romantic is that? Until you feel how cold it is over here. Things, yeah, let's turn on the central heating. And then the bill comes and how expensive it is over here. And generally, we don't put pictures of war up during Christmas time, do we? I only saw one person out of the tens of thousands of people in the streets yesterday of London with a poppy still on. Because generally speaking, war and Christmas don't go hand in hand. The cold cruelty of war seems about as far away as one gets from the calmness, the peace, the joy, the hope of the Christmas season. The pain and the suffering of battle, the battles of war, seem to contradict the joy and the celebration of Christmas time. But you know the story of those who fought in World War I? Christmas arrived in the midst of an intense global war. Life in the trenches, we are told, was absolutely brutal and gruesome. And in World War I, new technologies emerged, such as tanks and mustard gas, which had advanced military capabilities even further to kill more people more efficiently and more painfully than ever before. But against this backdrop, individuals chose peace. What's your backdrop this Christmas? It might not be all cuddly. I've got a kid that loves soft toys. We said, no more soft toys. A soft toy came home yesterday on the central line with us. Christmas cuddly and warm around the fireplace. Maybe that's not your backdrop. Maybe it's harsh. Maybe you're facing redundancy. Maybe your family life is just in tatters. You know, you've read all the self-help books and you think, man, when I'm through with this, I'm going to write my own self-help book because those self-help people just don't know what they're talking about. I never forget when my auntie studied psychology and teaching. I was about 5 or 6 years old. I remember the conversation she had with my parents on how to raise their boys. But once she had her own kids, I remember the conversation she had. She said, the textbooks were all wrong. I'm so sorry for what I said. We turned out okay, all three of us. Praise God. Great parents. But maybe that's not your backdrop to Christmas. And during December 1914, many German and British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, they sang and played carols to each other across the destroyed no man's land. And they found that they knew the same songs, albeit in different languages. German soldiers walked across that scarred landscape. They put their weapons down and they walked across unarmed. And they were shouting out, Merry Christmas. Okay, not in a South African accent, but we want to have one Christmas. Merry Christmas to the enemies. We love all nations and so does Jesus. What a beautiful variety people bring. I love people. I love people of different cultures. Don't you? It's amazing. All the cultures God made. It's beautiful. Allied soldiers, a little distrustful at first, crawled out of their trenches and joined them. They shook hands. They exchanged gifts, not the most glamorous of gifts, of cigarettes and plum pudding. And they sang Christmas carols. And history tells us, it's documented, they even played football game together. The Christmas truce was never repeated. Unfortunately, the officers made sure of it by threatening severe punishments. But on that special day, enemies placed their shared humanity before their grievances, and experienced the peace of Christmas. Can you imagine that? What's your backdrop this morning? Could you lay down your grievances? Jesus never called us to be peacekeepers. We can all keep the peace. We can all hold the fort. But he told us in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. You make something. Anybody made a cake this Christmas? You're going to be making Christmas lunch. Some of you are going to be making a super duper Christmas lunch. You made it. You didn't just keep it. You didn't keep the turkey frozen or fresh off the shelf of wherever you shop, Asda, Morrison's, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Waitrose. Isn't it good to know wherever you shop, turkey's turkey? And I shall be called Waitrose. It's turkey. But you made it. You made a meal, something special, an offering to your family, your friends, your guests, from your heart. And that's what a peacemaker is. We go out to make something. We see the raw ingredients and we look at the raw ingredients and think, if I eat that raw turkey, I'm going to have salmonella for the rest of my life. But the temperature's right, the cooking conditions are right, the love and the basting over and over of that turkey. Whatever you eat, nut loaf, and all the vegan specialities. I have to tell you, it was hilarious. So I thought I'd treat the family and take them out for coffee and cake. And the kids got to choose. But unfortunately, Dad stepped in, which I shouldn't have. So I paid for it. I had to buy another piece of cake. Thought we'll share two amongst four of us. And one of my kids wanted something which to me didn't sound so nice. But I asked the waiter, what's your best seller? And he pointed to a picture in the menu. Now, come on, how can you go wrong with a picture in the menu? It was called Billionaire Chocolate Cake. I thought, we need some billionaire in our life, so let's eat the billionaire. And it looked, it said with chocolate cream and salted caramel. And I bit into it and I thought, I asked one of my kids, I said, does this taste like billionaire? And they're being, trying to be all nice today because he's in our big treat. Dad, it's not the best cake we've ever eaten. So we eat it, and I keep trying to taste the chocolate and the salted caramel and the, you know, the ooziness of it, but it was like dry. I even saw the guy cut the cake the way, and it looked so appetizing, put the knife through it and brings it to the table. So Isabel said to me, didn't you notice the green writing? I said, what green writing on the menu? So I called the waiter and I said, is it just me? No, he said, you ate our vegan cake. I had my first taste of vegan cake. I don't know why I told you that story, but it was a bit of an experience. I had to order then the mango mousse, which was way better. But anyway, but we make things. We make peace. My kid made peace. Didn't say, Dad, you chose the most horrible cake on the menu, not even a vegan. Dad, it's not the best cake I have, but I'm enjoying it. Made peace. I know it's a little situation, but what can we make peace with? Matt, it's great having you on the keys. It's great having Matt on the keys this morning. Bless you. You can sit down and enjoy the rest of the sermon. God bless you. So today, last Sunday of Advent, the shepherds in the Christmas story often get a bad rap, don't they? They're presented as outcasts. They're presented as dirty. They're presented as unruly. And they're kind of thought of as the bottom rung in society. I mean, no mother would say, my boy, I want you to grow up to be a shepherd one day. You know, you go off to the University of Galilee and you come out with your shepherding degree. I mean, that just wasn't the game plan. That just wasn't kind of, wow, you've made it in society. However, many biblical scholars think that shepherds unduly and unfairly actually get a bad rap. In fact, shepherds at one point held a very high position in Israel's history. We are told by scholars that a number of the patriarchs were actually shepherds. We are also told in the Bible, and we read about it, that King David was a shepherd, and he was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So all this bad rap that the shepherds are getting, maybe it's a little bit unfair. I'm not totally sure whether or not the shepherds of Jesus' day were a motley crew or not, but the profession had fallen in its kind of reputation by that time. On the other end of the spectrum, so we have the shepherds. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, in Israel, there were the religious leaders of the day. And they were smug in their high positions of power. And they made everybody else know that their position was high. And the way they did that, we have a high position. And the way they did that was by pushing everybody else lower into the caste system of the day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the like were at the top. Everyone else was below. They kept themselves, as I said, lifted up by pushing everyone else down. You know, there's one type of PhD we don't need in today's world. And that's to put him down or put her down. We don't need those types of PhDs in today's world. The religious leaders were the ones that had the direct line with God. They knew all about his purpose for their lives. So in this hierarchy, shepherds weren't exactly accustomed to being contacted by angelic beings. Can you see the miracle of that? It wasn't the shepherds who would have thought, hey, this message is enormous. This message is about the Messiah. This message is absolutely enormous. Wow, it's mind-blowing. But even more in their view, perhaps, even as mind-blowing as that, was the fact that the angels were speaking to lowly shepherds. The angels hadn't gone to the Pharisees or Sadducees. We don't see the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who thought themselves to be the high echelons of society. We don't see them invited around the manger. Let's go to scripture this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And they were shepherds, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Can you imagine that cold, smelly scene? They were living out there. Pretty grim. You know, sheep smell. Have you smelled a sheep? Not the beautiful cashmere thing you find on the shelves of Marks and Spencers. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. To these lowly people. To these worthless people in society. An angel, an angelic messenger from heaven. Wow. You know, people here always say, well, I'm just not good enough. You know, the Lord speaks to, the Lord loves that fancy person over there in designer gear. Just a word on designer gear, because I have kids at the age who like to look at designer gear, but note the word look. You are designer gear. You made his image. Wow. It's not what we put on, it's what shines through. We can have the best label on. You can come to church and your outfit costs in excess of £1,000. And if you can do that, probably nothing wrong with that. Or maybe there is, you sort that out. But if we don't have peace, it shines through. It makes one look like they're the poorest of the poor. You can come in rags, an old suit, being dry cleaned so many times that it's made friends with the dry cleaners. But when you have the peace with the Lord, the favor of heaven shines through. And I'll show you. I'll show you. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Back to the previous one, please. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what were they? Terrified. Every time an angel appeared, they said, "Do not be afraid." Why is it that in today's world we sort of see visions of all sorts of things and we're never terrified? What about the fear of the Lord? Okay, that's different to fear. It's that sovereign respect, respecting God is sovereign. He's Lord. Man, his word is my command and my word is yes, sir. Wow. Spoke to a friend the other day. He went on holiday with friends and he was very impressed at the behavior of the friend's children. The friend's friend asked his 14-year-old son to, I think, wash the car or something like that. Can you believe it? I asked my kids to wash the car. It'll be fantastic. And the son said, yes, sir, what an absolute honor to wash your car, Dad, and tell me if there's anything else I can do for you. I think I need to visit that guy and find out how to parent, okay? What am I saying? There was a respect for the authority of the father in the home. We need a respect for the authority of God, our Father, in our homes, in our lives, where He lives. The Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. A few of us were talking about that the other day. There's a humility that comes in that they were terrified. Next verse, please. Carly, you're doing a great job on the laptop. Bless you. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Isn't that great? That's what Jesus says to all of us today. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. I love that. For all people. And the great joy is for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's a lot of information for shepherds. I mean, if it was us writing the memo from heaven to the angels and God saying, angels, I'm sending you out, angel, to go and give the shepherds a message. But remember, they're shepherds, so let's dumb it down. Really important man. Do you understand? At school, I had an accounting teacher. I mean, I was doing so well in accountancy. But somehow, I caught her attention in every lesson. Every time, you know, she probably took a breath, she looked at me and she said, Clark, are you coping? Coping? I'm an accountant, can't you see? Coping? And she put me right off every 2 minutes. Clark, are you? Eventually I thought, I'm not coping with this anymore, okay? Imagine, they're shepherds, they're not going to cope with this message. Shepherds, are you coping? No, the angel gives them the full-blown version today. Man, not when you feel like it. And when you feel like it, you know, just go down to the stable. When it's convenient, when the sheep have stopped bleating, when you know there's no wolves around. Today, I love that. That's the salvation message we preach. It's from the Word. Today's the day of salvation. Oh, when it's comfortable for us and, you know, the car's polished and the kids are polished and, you know, we all polished. No, today, God wants to break through. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. In the town of David, are you coping? They're shepherds. They're not going. No, it gives them the full thing. Has been born to you. He is the Messiah. Wow. You know, we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. We don't have to dumb down the message. I think empty churches are proof that a dumbed-down message just doesn't work. It's the full message. It's the full gospel. God wants to give us the fullness of Himself, the fullness of His revelation. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Next verse, please. Suddenly, and God's a God of the suddenly. I don't know if you've noticed that. We can be just going along our mundane things in life. Monday to Friday, Saturday comes. Sunday, I think I'll go to church. But suddenly, oh, am I getting too close to the candles? Thank you very much. But suddenly, somebody's looking after my welfare. God bless you. Okay. Suddenly, God breaks through. And I don't know what you're going through, but you can expect the suddenly of God to break through. Because look what they say here. A great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Can you imagine? The brightest star on that night must have looked like nothing, being invisible at the brightness of those angelic hosts. Your brightest moment in your life is nothing in comparison to when God breaks through into your life. And you've got to let Him, because the shepherds let Him. They did full circle. I'll show you in a moment. Glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to those on whom His favor rests. God's favor. We're singing that song this morning. I am blessed. Included the word favor. You know, one moment of favor in God's life is more than a whole lifetime of labor. We can go through life struggling. What we need is the favor of God. What is the favor of God? In biblical times, the king gave his favor. Not a favor like, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Not that kind of thing. A favor. He gave a decree. He made a way. Nehemiah gave the paperwork. The favor of the king was upon him so that he could go and do the job. Without the favor, he couldn't have got the job done. He couldn't have entered through borders and all that kind of stuff. We need the favor of God on our lives. Amen. Look, I've got to get on with the sermon this morning because I'm just preaching what I just sensed the Lord wants me to say to you this morning. So the angels appear to the shepherds. The shepherds received the announcement of good news, and then they went and they were message bearers of the peace. Full circle. Angels appeared, they received, and they went out with the peace of the Lord. We come here this morning, we receive the good news, don't we? God comes, we receive, and then we go and we do something. 3 points, and I'm going to be really quick. My first point is this. What does peace look like? It looks like this, the peace of wholeness. So way back in history, as recorded in the Old Testament, when God gave the law to Moses and set up the roles and duties of the priests to guide the spiritual life of the ancient Jews, he gave them the ultimate blessing to speak to the people. Look at it. The Lord bless you and keep you. Actually, let's read that together. Let's go for it now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I pray that prayer for every single one of you and everyone listening to the podcast, that the Lord will give you his peace. That word peace, and I don't have time to go into it all, but I give you a taster of what it means. It's the Hebrew word used in that blessing is actually shalom. And it means so much more than just peace, the way we say it or think it to be. It conveys a very rich meaning, and it conveys a very powerful meaning. It's much more than just the absence of conflict. It actually, just in a nutshell, and I'll talk about this more another time, means safety, completeness, and wholeness. So the Lord give you his peace. The Lord give you his shalom. Say shalom. Thank you. Which actually means safety, completeness, and wholeness. Whatever you are going through, you can be safe in the hands of Almighty God. Whatever you are going through, you are complete. You're complete in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are complete in him. This is peace. Hallelujah. We are whole. We are whole. You may still feel broken. You may still have parts of your life that repel even you. But when you have his peace, he will make you whole. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's one thing. We often read Wonderful, Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. No, he is the Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow. And if I want to find out about peace, I'm telling you, the best person to go to is the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And we know that the Jews of Jesus' day understood that to be a political system against the oppressors. The oppressors was the Roman Empire, which ruled them with an iron fist. But the Jews also knew and longed for and understood the concept of shalom. This completeness and wholeness with God is what Jesus brought. And it goes deep into our souls where we can say, no matter what is going on, I have the peace of the Lord. His completeness, his wholeness, his peace. And it is well with my soul. Can you say that this morning? It is well with my soul. Peace is a person. John 14:27. Jesus spoke to his disciples saying, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Have you ever had a guest at your home and they've left you something? Jesus left his peace, but he does more than leave his peace. He gives it to us. His peace is a gift. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus knew that his followers through all time would face crushing blows in their life. But what we need is the peace of the Lord. This gift of peace is not the absence of pain. It is not the absence of hurt or noise or violence or uncertainty. But peace is a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace is the presence of Jesus, the shalom, the presence of Jesus in our lives in the midst of brokenness. Jesus never promised a smooth and easy way for us, but he is our peace. And in the midst of our brokenness, he is there with us. Look at Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace. Jesus is your peace. Can you choose peace today? Can you choose Jesus today? Look at Ephesians 2:14-16. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Okay, that's talking about Jews and Gentiles. By setting aside his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. God with us brings peace between us and God, but also brings peace among people, because we are all drawn together and unified in God through Jesus. Wow. When he works in us, his peace flows. You don't have to have an argument with that relative around the Christmas dinner table this year, because your peace with him has made peace with others. It flows out. It flows out of you. Look at it. But he also brings peace among people, because we are drawn together and unified in God through Jesus. This is the perfect picture just read to you of shalom, wholeness, safety, and restoration. And in conclusion, peace transforms and peace calms. How peaceful is your Christmas season? If we're honest, we'll probably choose words like busy, hectic, frantic, or maybe it's just like it all year round for you. Maybe you have an overloaded schedule that robs you of your peace. Maybe there's something more. Maybe there's relational conflict. Maybe there's pressure at work. Maybe there's illness in your life or in your family. You name it. For most of us, peace sounds like a good idea, but it's a long way off. A nice thought, however. When Jesus is in us, we can have his peace in the midst of the storm. And I want to encourage you in that today, that Jesus shows up when the storms of life hit us. Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace, when the storms of life try to strangle our joy. And sorry for using such a strong word, but that happens. When the storms of life trying to blind us of the hope of the better future that God has for us. I don't know about you, I still believe that God has a better future for every single one of our lives. He has a better future for this church. The best is yet to come. We are in a waiting time. Just like Advent's a time of waiting. It's not a passive waiting. It's an eager anticipation of being obedient and following Him through our waiting. He is with us. His love shows up when all seems lost. The way forward is totally unclear, but He makes a way for us in our difficulties. You remember the story of the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee? The boat was being tossed about side by side. This was the Sea of Galilee. This is where those fishermen worked. They knew it like the back of their hand. They knew it. Yet they were terrified. We're going to look at that verse. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat. And maybe that feels like your life right now. It feels like there's a great windstorm around your life. It feels like the waves of life, the pressures, financial pressure, societal pressure, pressure at work, pressure in the family, pressure at home is beating up against you. Pressure of illness is beating on you. And the boat was already filling. You may think, Lord, you're late. The stuff out there, it's already filling me. It's drowning my peace, Lord. It's drowning my peace. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Can you imagine that? Isn't that a cuddly thing, asleep on a pillow? Can you imagine that? You're going through your worst day. There's a pillow back there. Just throw it to me, please. Patricia, I want the pillow. Yeah. Let's see how good you are. Fantastic. There we go. You should go play cricket, Paul. There he is. There's a storm. He was in the stern. He's in the bottom of the boat. Wasn't visible. Where's Jesus? In the bottom of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Now, just look. The waves beat into the boat. Man, the boat's filling with water. There's a windstorm beating waves and it's filling the boat. What's Jesus doing? In the most dangerous spot that's probably filling up pretty fast. Choose the cleanest looking side. So, Toby, you come and be Jesus asleep in the boat. Oh, promotion Sunday. Can you imagine it? Can you? Yeah, the storm. What's the storm in your life? And you think, Jesus, where are you? I'm up here at the boat and it's getting a bit rocky. For once, the peas have come into good use and it's feeling a bit rocky. Here we go. Jesus, where are you? And don't you feel that way in your life sometimes? The waves are smashing you. I can handle it. Where are you? Asleep on a pillow. Come on. I mean, this isn't reality. You couldn't make this stuff up. He's asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I wonder how they awoke him. I wonder if they made a 12-voice men's choir. And start with all the harmonies. Ooh, 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 ooh. Good morning, Jesus. This is your alarm clock. What did they do? What did they win? Jesus. Jesus. He's sleeping. Should we just can he be so peaceful in my storm? Don't you understand what they awoke him? I wonder, they must have shaken him a little bit here. You know, they maybe taken a little bit of water, won't really do it, you know. Get a bit of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus. Just feel what I'm going through right now in my life. And what did they say to him? And they say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They still acknowledge him as teacher, even in their storm. Who do you acknowledge in your storm? He can teach you something through your storm. There's a gift in it for you. Wow. What's the gift? And they probably shook him. I won't really do it to you. And they probably shouted, teacher, do you not care? We are perishing. And you up. And you up. And you up. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind. Now rebuke the wind. There we go. And now you're going to speak to the sea.
Peace, be still.
And the narrator continues. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Thank you, Toby. Give him a great round of applause. Do you want to look after that? Don't sleep during my sermon. We're going to close now. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. He still speaks out peace over the seas of our life, of the seas of our lives. He still rebukes the devourer. It's peace. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. I don't know. Maybe you just need that great calm in your life right now. I've got so much more to share with you. One last scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Let us pray. If you're going through a storm in life, I want to pray for you in a moment. But before I pray for you, maybe you have never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You may have never have made peace with Jesus. You may have made peace with Jesus and you may have slipped away. And you just know you're not following him like you should be or like you once were. And you can make peace with your Savior today. We're going to do it on the count of three. The third one is to pray. I think we can all join in together on that prayer. Number one, accept that you are a sinner and accept you need Jesus. Number two, believe with all your heart. And number three, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. If you need to pray that prayer this morning, let's just pray that now. Let's pray it together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you that you are my peace from this moment forth. I open my heart to you. Forgive me a sinner. Please come into my life. I believe you died for me on the cross and rose again from the dead. And I invite you into my life today. I want to be at peace with you and help me to live at peace. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, either as a recommitment or the first time, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask you just to quickly slip up your hand and take it down again. God bless you. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, you've seen every single hand go up here this morning, and we give you praise. And we know we've read about angels this morning, and we also read another thing about angels in the Bible, that when a person gives their life to the Lord, all of heaven's rejoicing. There's rejoicing this morning. Lord, I pray over every person who put their hand up this morning, and I pray your blessing on them. I pray your peace within them and upon them, and I pray the favor of God in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, maybe you are loving the Lord, but there's just something in your life and you just need peace. You need peace with someone. You need peace with something. You need peace with yourself. Yeah. Because I've learned something in life. Wherever you go, you take yourself with you. It's often not a place that needs to change. It's a heart that needs to change. You need to get a peace. Get at peace. You need the peace of the Lord. And that's what you're fighting. That's what you're fighting. In fact, I can pinpoint right now those who are fighting the peace of the Lord. And you know who you are. And for some, it's just a beautiful realignment. For some, it's a real battle. You've been battling with this. And you almost mock God and you almost scoff at Him. And you seethe at Him. Today is your day. You can choose to be a peacemaker. I pray for you now in Jesus' name that you make it through. And that you say, Jesus, I receive your peace. Maybe you can just say that if that's you. However, on that, wherever on that spectrum you are, whether it's just the gentle peace you need or it's a real breakthrough point, whatever it is, just say, Jesus, I receive your peace. Help me think in your peace. Help me walk in your peace. Help me sleep in your peace. Help me breathe in your peace. Help me live in your peace. I need the peace of God. As the word says, transcends all understanding. And I want to read this over you in Jesus' name. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I want to pray that over you this morning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Folks, if you need prayer after the service, the prayer team will be on your right-hand side in the front pew. You're more than welcome to come for prayer. It'd be great if you do it for yourself or for other people. But what we're going to do, we're going to end the service on the scripture where it says, admonishing and teaching with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Let's do that now. Let's close with a fantastic song this morning. Bless you.